Our Old Testament reading for today comes from Isaiah chapter 65. I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name. I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices, a people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and making offerings on bricks, who sit in tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat pig's flesh and broth of tainted meat is in their vessels, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you. These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their bosom both your iniquities and your father's iniquities together, says the Lord, because they made offerings on the mountains and insulted me on the hills. I will measure into their bosom payment for their former deeds. Thus says the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, as they say, do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it. So I will do for my servant's sake and not destroy them all. I will bring forth offspring from Jacob and from Judah, possessors of my mountains. My chosen shall possess it, and my servants shall dwell there. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
The epistle lesson comes from Galatians chapter 3. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are all Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under the guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 8. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on the land, there met him a man from a city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of him. For many a time it seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let him enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all of the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given. From one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. That comes from just shortly before our gospel text today. Jesus starts telling parables. And the first parable he tells, the key to the rest of them, is the parable of the sower and the soils. It's a parable that captures the truth of the word of God in this world. It is received in different ways. There's no telling how or who will receive it. That is part of the reality of today's text. It's the centurion or the Gentile who's heard the word and believes greater than all Israel. It's the sinner, the woman at the dinner last week who demonstrates the love of that word. Those who would know better, the Pharisees and the elders of the people, don't get it. So Jesus gets into the boat and sails to the country of the Gerasenes, a completely Gentile area. Large enough of a Gentile area to have a herd of pigs. Part of Luke's gospel is an explanation of how one loses the word and how it is given to another who will hear it. The word and the miracles being done in the Jewish area are not finding faith, but finding judgment of that word. When Jesus crosses over into Gentile territory, he barely steps out of the boat, and he's met by a man with demons. And what I want you to read here is this man is a representative of the spiritual state of those without the word, as the Gentiles had been for a long time. For a long time, he wore no clothes. Those without the word of God are naked to the weather of this age. He was homeless and lived among the tombs. The man possessed preferred to live with the dead rather than in a home. But the spiritual truth is that the pagan world did not have a spiritual home. You sacrifice to this idol for good crops, and to that one for victory, and to another for the hearth. And all of that was either just superstition or your civic duty. Men preferred to live among the dead idols of that civic religion than be called to the household of the living God. And even though these actions were often harmful to himself, it had seized him many times, he would break the bonds and be driven into the desert. The best of that pagan world, its philosophies would try and bind man to fruitful work. But he was always breaking the chains and running into the wilderness. But when confronted by the word, "What is your name?" it answers, "Legion." And when that word, Jesus, drives out that legion, that Gentile man then sits at the feet of Jesus and is clothed, and he's in his right mind. The sitting at the feet is the attitude of disciples. Like Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and would not be moved by even her sister's complaints. The teachings of Jesus clothe us for this age. And that same teaching allows us to be sane, maybe to be the sane ones in an insane time. This man, who appears to have nothing, is given everything. The Jews, who thought they had everything, in Paul's words, the law and the prophets and the temple worship, even what they had would be taken away. And this is something I think Luke does consciously, I'm convinced, throughout his gospel, which is actually just part one of Luke's story. This man, now demon-free, naturally wants to go along with Christ. The man begs Jesus to return with him, but Jesus sends him out as a witness. The word used is literally, he preached throughout the entire city. And Jesus will send out the 72 in Luke, not just the 12. And the Samaritan leper is sent to his people. And there's some other ones as well. But in part 2 in the book of Acts, Luke picks up these people sent early as the gospel moves from Jerusalem to Judea and into Samaria and to the ends of the earth. These people that we meet in part 1 are the first seeds of that word thrown at the ground that would yield a mighty harvest from that Gentile world. The second part of the text that I want to highlight is the request of Legion and its actions. The Legion of Demons begs Jesus not to send them into the abyss. Biblically, that word is used in a couple of ways. Initially, it simply means the bottomless deep. Genesis 1:2, darkness was over the face of the abyss, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The flood comes not just from the sky, but from the fountains of the deep. It would take on a spiritual meaning of the place where Satan and his angels would be bound. Satan would be thrown into the pit or into the abyss. Legion, this demon, begs Jesus not to send them to the deep. And Jesus surprisingly consents. They ask Jesus to send them into the pigs, and Jesus grants them permission. But immediately upon entering the pigs, the entire herd goes running off the edge of the cliff and into the abyss. The herd rush down a steep bank and into the lake, and they drown. There's a truth about evil here. Even though it might know what's good and what's bad, evil might want to stay out of the abyss, it can't. Evil might appear as legion. It might appear all powerful. It might even win a few. But when confronted with the word of God, it throws itself into the abyss. The task of the disciple is to hear the word and to stand in it. By simply doing that, evil always throws itself into the abyss. What we should take from this passage of the gospel, I think, is a couple of assurances about Christ. First, Christ is for us. He was not sent just to the Jews. Neither was he sent to those who know already, nor was to those of influence or power or status. But Christ was sent to those who were oppressed, oppressed by demons, oppressed by the world. He was sent to those whom this world had stripped naked. He was sent to those who did not know him and were not in their right mind. Christ is for sinners. Not Gentile sinners or Jewish sinners. Not male sinners or female sinners. Not straight sinners or gay sinners. Christ is simply for sinners. What is your name? Be clean. Sit at my feet and learn. Gain a right mind. And the second assurance we should take is that Christ is in control. The powers that be have no power over him beyond what he allows. They operate for their little time with his permission. And they are all destined for that abyss. The Gerasenes were afraid from the facts, but that possessed man was no longer afraid. At the word of Jesus, he went and preached to the whole city. However large the legion, we have nothing to fear. Standing in Christ. So that's what I would say the first moral that we should take from the text. We have a calling to stand firm in the Word. There's a time that we get to sit at the feet of Jesus. That's our personal devotions. That's our time in Bible study. That's our time here in Word and Sacrament. We are made strong and sure by the word in these things. And we should do this because the time when the Lord says, go, tell them everything God has done for you, also comes about. We're to be bold witnesses to the truth of Jesus Christ, how much we sinners have been forgiven. We've been delivered from a legion of foes. We stand firm in the word, both in prayer and in study, and also in that time of trial. And so that's the second moral I want to address. It's hard reading Luke's gospel, which has that thread of the word leaving one people and being given to another, and not reflecting upon the state of our people. I don't want anyone to hear me preaching a gospel of Americanism here. That's not a gospel. But we as a people have in the past took seriously the word of God. We sat at its feet. Our laws, while never perfect, would be swayed by that word. Preachers, both ordained and prophetic, would use its words and its rhythms to call us towards our better angels. I'm not so sure we are that people anymore. I pray that it's just legion, that it just looks like it's being taken away. That we'll hear the galloping horde falling into the abyss pretty soon. But when we've tasted the truth and not felt it worth keeping any longer, hearts become hardened. And that doesn't relieve the Christian of their call. Regardless of the fashions of the world, we are to return home and declare how much God has done for us. The sower throws his seed on hard ground and good soil alike. And the reason we do that, the reason that he does that, is because we're not playing for this world only. We're living in his kingdom. The day will come when all of Legion is in the abyss and will no longer tell each other what God has done for us, because Christ will be there himself. Today we sow seed because today is the day of grace. The word proclaimed has power. It doesn't return empty. But tomorrow is the day of glory. Today we pray and study and live the trial because tomorrow our race is done. We run today to win the prize. We take care how we hear, so that what has been given to us in Christ will never be taken away. Amen.